Hey guys, welcome to the Tech Point Africa podcast. My name is Muiwa.
And I'm Amulara.
And my name is Titilola.
Traffic.
Lagos traffic. That's crazy. Become very hellish. Nightmarish.
How did you get to the office today?
Well,
how many hours did you spend?
So the mornings are not so bad, right?
Yeah.
Especially the times I will resume at the office.
Mm-hmm.
But man, in the evening, Jesus Christ.
Crazy stuff.
So I always ask myself, how did we manage in the days of no bike hailing services, like say the Opes and the go-carters of this city?
That was very true. But I cannot imagine. Survive?
So what we did then, or what we still do, even for some of us that don't use bike hailing services, I just sit in the traffic, then listen to podcasts. Goodness.
Sitting in the traffic is
radio.
It's not something I want to do with my life.
Exactly,
read
crazy
books
stuff.
And stuff like that.
And then now government is now making life difficult for all these guys. Yesterday I was driving by Mobolaji Bank, Anthony. And then I saw, I don't know whether it was Lagos Task Force or
it's definitely going to be Lagos.
tons of bikes were impounded in the truck.
Imagine.
All the OP, Gokad, Max, all of them were inside.
And they would have to bail themselves out.
I thought it was ordinary bikes.
Of course not.
No, it's
wow.
They can't get to the airport or that area. Because I've experienced something that I took an OP and he missed his turn, had to go turn at that airport roundabout.
Yeah.
And then they impounded his bike.
Wow. I don't know what's going on,
They just want to kill these people.
It's crazy.
And I see that's not bad enough. They now want them to pay.
Yeah. 500 naira per bike per day.
So I think the government tweeted something. I think it was on Twitter that if someone can come up with a solution on how to solve traffic problems. But then these guys are providing solutions.
I know, right?
But they are not helping them. They're not helping them solve
instead,
this problem.
They are making them pay money to NURT. That's 500 naira per bike.
Yeah.
And we calculated it. That's for a whole year, for each of them. That's $503,000.
How much do these guys make for them to even pay?
How much in naira? Well,
that's how much is that in naira?
We don't want to count.
That should be 150 million naira,
goodness.
If I'm not mistaken.
So how much do these guys...
182 million naira.
How much do these guys make for them to even pay that amount of money in a year?
I don't understand.
It's crazy, man. It's really crazy.
And the interesting thing is NURTW, that's Union of Road Transport, they are not really a government. They are a union. But they seem so intertwined with government that I don't understand.
Maybe because of the services they render to the government.
Yeah.
It's what they're supposed to be doing and what they're doing for the government. So,
are we going to be seeing, are these bike hailing platforms going to die eventually or something?
I can't even think of how would we survive Lagos traffic without them, really?
Go back to back to the previous life.
No, we can't go back to where
Lagos has gotten worse. The traffic, no. And then to now make everything worse with the whole traffic situation, many of us who now depend on Google Maps, we're now scared. Yesterday we heard some news that made us scared. That the Federal Road Safety Corps says using Google Maps.
I mean, when I saw that story, I'm it can't be true. What?
Yeah. Titular, yes. It can't be true. Why? Because these people, some of these people, they tell their children to help them check WhatsApp.
Well, there's that. And there's the fact that, because when we actually wrote a story, kind of countering the news.
Yeah.
Because according to an FRS representative, he said that wasn't what they said. They were misquoted.
Yeah.
And it made sense because, why would anybody say that?
Mm-hmm.
And it also makes sense because we know how people use Google Maps. You're already on the road and then you remember, I don't know this road though.
Mm-hmm.
Let me check. And while you're driving, it's not safe for you. It's not safe for people that are on the road as well. So, it makes sense that if you want to go anywhere, you set your map before you leave.
Before you leave.
Yeah,
or
sure.
You get
a phone stand.
It actually does make sense.
I think that's what most Uber drivers and taxi drivers use.
There's always the challenge of if you are driving areas like Akpongbo in Lagos, if you stand your phone like that in the night and you're passing that place, be very sure 100% you're going to be robbed.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I've been robbed there before.
Jeez.
So and then, so there's that. Then there's also when they were harassing, even Uber drivers used to be harassed because that thing made them a target.
Yeah. So they always believe that Uber drivers have money.
Yeah.
Like so all these FIRS officials, or is it last summer? All those ones, all those officials on the road. Guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Once they know they that you're a taxi, they will. Yeah, that's what they do. Really
so while it makes sense what the FIRS, like you said, it makes sense. The official statement is saying, no, we didn't say using Google Maps is illegal. What we said is, don't be distracted. It makes sense, but at the same time, too, people are also worried about their safety and being targets. Because you hear, for example, VIO stopping people and saying, even if they're not Uber, once they see them with the they say, where's your Hackney license? They have something called the Hackney license. all Uber and Bolt and whatever riders
what?
Must.
Hackney
system. It's 25,000 naira per year or something.
Oh, I see.
Crazy stuff.
So
I think all of this is just
hitting them with levies from left, right, and center.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like we can't get a break from government, like from innovation. And then there's now the social media bill.
Oh, that one is even very scary.
Yeah, it's really scary.
It is really scary. Like all those people that are always sewing thread on things that they don't know about the government.
Exactly.
They can't do that anymore.
Death penalty. That's the scariest part.
They've taken that one off the table. But it's just too crazy because hate speech, that one is even the scariest. So hate speech is very, what's the word now? It's very vague.
Yeah.
And it's very subjective.
How do you even define hate speech?
Exactly. That's what I just said. Like, what if you call your governor out and he says, oh, this is hate speech. And this is just constructive criticism. Yeah.
And why should the government have monopoly on what is hate speech and what is not?
Oh my goodness. That thing
is
scary.
If they are doing their work right, they shouldn't be scared that people might come out for them, or
so I can understand why government would be worried, to be honest. A lot of, like you said, Titi, a lot of people just make trades on things they don't know about, and sometimes they make statements that are, you know, just like the FRA thing now.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
headline, people just read that headline and they started insulting the government. But then FRA has come out and made their official statement. How many people saw that one?
So I remember during this, xenophobic attacks.
Exactly.
And people were bringing pictures from things that were not even 2016 and things that were not even related to the attack.
Exactly.
And putting them on social media, everybody just went crazy. And I think that actually contributed to the way people went crazy about that news.
Exactly.
It was all fake news, mostly.
Yeah. So I can understand when you're trying to run a country, the fear that things can get out of hand.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then I don't think their approach is the best approach.
No, that's always the problem. Yeah. They can't balance that. Mm-hmm. That extreme measures with like trying to understand what is on ground and bringing the right solution. They cannot. They always have to go extreme
exactly.
every time.
Yeah. Exactly. And we had a guest contributor submit an opinion piece on that.
Yeah.
Enyoma, I hope I'm getting pronounced MadubuK. So he wrote why regulating free speech on social media is a very dangerous idea.
Yeah,
very interesting piece. You guys should read that.
Should go read it.
And then we also had one of us, Emmanuel, did everything you need to know about the social media.
Because you're probably seeing plenty of screenshots of social media and just...
Exactly.
Because that's another thing.
Yeah.
Like you see screenshots and then everybody blows it out of proportion.
Exactly.
So this article just tells you exactly what it
what
is.
What you need to know.
Yes, everything that you need to know. So go and read it.
But the worrisome thing again is that it has passed second year,
second,
right?
Yes, yeah, second
so
reading.
If it goes to the third year, it will be passed into law. So we need to
why I'm actually seriously. Angry is because there are other things that yet to be passed into law, right?
A lot of things
and this is like going really really fast.
Track.
Yes.
Yeah. Like going really really
fast. One of the people behind it is this same guy
sex time senator.
The sex time guy. What's his name?
I was so angry.
The guy that was caught harassing a woman.
Jeez. The way he was defending it.
He obviously had invested interest.
He was defending it. He was defending it with all his power, all his
mind. You see how people called him out on social media because of that stuff. So it's just an agenda.
Yeah.
You just want to kill free speech so that when they do something stupid, which they always do, nobody will be able to call them out because they're scared of their lives and stuff.
In some way, to me though, we're kind of diving into a dictatorship kind of government.
It's not just Nigeria or Africa or all over the world, governments are still struggling with.
Yes, they're actually scared. They have the right to be scared, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Social media is like, it has grown its own wings and it can just blow everything out of proportion.
See the whole thing with political ads and Cambridge Analytica. And I like the approach. I mean, although Facebook is protecting their source of revenue, but I like the approach that they're trying to take, which is not like an outright blanket. They have an interesting approach anyway.
Yeah.
I think we'll put the link to how Facebook article, and Twitter are trying to do that in the show notes, so that you guys can read that. But it's not all bad news in Africa anyway. Senegal.
They have a startup act.
Yeah. Omolara knows a little bit about that.
I know everything.
Okay. Tell us about it.
So, it was this week. Yeah, this week. Senegalese government. Yeah. They considered and adopted a startup act. So, by next month, it's going to be passed into law. That means that startups now have like a say, sort of like Senegalese government is supporting them. This startup act is going to be looking into their tax. It's going to be looking into their tax policies, startup financing, and all of those things. Like, it's kind of
enabling them, create an enabling environment for startups,
gather data promotion. So you have like enough information for you to develop a business plan, a better business plan. I mean, it's that's making sense. Yeah,
and they are not the first in.
Yeah,
past.
Tunisia. Had, yeah, but we don't have the details here, do we?
No, we don't.
So I'm wondering if it's like the Tunisia zone where they even have things like, if you, one of the interesting things in Tunisia Startup Act was that if you decide to quit your job today and go and start a startup, you have like 2 years. You can come back to the company and they would most hire you or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, really?
If your startup fails and...
Oh, that's really nice.
So that will encourage people to like try their hands.
And then another interesting thing I saw about the Tunisian is like the first 8 years, you don't get to pay tax.
Oh. 8 years is a lot.
It's a lot. Like, it's a long
time. You get tax exemption. You don't
that's
get to
that's
pay
really
tax
cool.
Years.
So, Nigeria.
Godwin. This is our own Godwin.
hopefully someday. Well, but it's not all bad news, though. Government is also playing its role in the digital economy somehow.
Yeah.
On Monday, I was in Abuja for MTN's 5G trial.
Yeah.
Oh. The first in West Africa. And it was only made possible because of support from the NCC, that's Nigeria's Communications Commission, and the Ministry of Digital Economy, that granted MTN a trial spectrum to test the 5G.
And I really liked the explanation that guy gave.
Okay,
with the
football.
I mean, you should bring Ronaldo. Messi.
Nobody will score that. Trust me. The way it works, nobody will score it.
Really?
Yeah, it's fast. Like, nobody will score it.
Wow.
It's a small post now.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if you guys have seen this.
That thing was really fast.
Yeah.
There was an AI goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. And so the sensor that is watching how the ball goes.
I'm yet to see the video, though.
Oh, you've not? Oh, everybody should watch it. I think we'll put the link to the video.
Okay.
So, yeah, 5G, I mean, what does it mean for Nigeria? What does it mean for Africa? Very interesting times.
Yeah.
For now, it's just a trial.
Ha.
And because of the infrastructure, because the way 5G is, the range is very short. So, as opposed to 4G or the older generations where you can have your mast here and then the next one is like maybe some miles or kilometers away, 5G has to be like every, if I'm not mistaken, is it 100 meters or something? Like, you need more. So it's going to take a lot of investments.
Are we even ready for 5G?
I'm not sure that's the right question to ask. We need it. I think we're ready, but can we do it is the question. Because we definitely need it.
Okay, for me is, we have 4G, and we are complaining of data.
cost of data.
So if 5G is here now, and I have 1,000 gig in 30 minutes, my 1,000 gig is gone.
Is that how it works?
I'm not sure that's how it works.
I'm not sure. Exactly.
Because I'll be able to download videos very fast. I'll be able to watch Instagram videos very
fast.
Yeah,
but it's still the same data.
It's the same data, yeah.
But it's just faster.
That thing is like mind tricks or something. So when internet is faster, you tend to use it more like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you tend to download more than you realize, as opposed to when the internet is slow.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's because it's fast that it's draining fast. It's because it's so fast. You know, that's when you know that I'm going to
use
Instagram. I'm going to use this one. I'm going to use that one.
And so before you know it, there was a discussion of whether or not to fix the price of data first before we start talking about 5G. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
About 5G. So like drop the price of data first because we spend so much. They say
on data.
Yes.
But I think Nigeria has some of the cheapest, most affordable data in Africa.
Well, to be fair, if we do have the affordable, a lot of people still cannot afford it.
Yeah, that's the problem. We are largely poor.
Yes. So
we are the poverty capital. So even though it's affordable, many of us still can't afford it. That's the sad thing. But man, I mean, there are many, I can't the prospects for 5G are like.
That'd be nice to be able to download. You said 2 gig in 15 seconds. 2.3
gig was downloaded in 15 seconds.
That would be so nice.
Like,
or stream.
You can download
this series. So, this is only thing about streaming things. There are many other applications like education. Yeah, so, imagine exactly. You can wear a VR headset and there's a hologram and you can be taking a lecture in Harvard with other students wearing VR. So, everybody's in their own room with VR headsets. Yeah. But in the VR environment, it's looking like they're in the same class with you. So that you're having that experience of being in the same class with the same people and everything.
And you can only achieve that with fast internet, really.
Yeah. So you don't have to travel to Harvard. Maybe you pay like 1/4 of the tuition fee.
God, that would be nice. Everybody wants to be a Harvard
education,
graduate.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then even medicine, like for example, surgery. Mm-hmm. So maybe people are flying to India. I mean, until our doctor stop flying. But you have people flying to India or the UK to get operation. Why? They could just be here and the doctor is there controlling a robot hand. And because 5G is fast enough, there's no latency. So if he moves his finger, it moves at the same time and then he can operate. He can be in India and operating you here.
That's so cool.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. We have a long way to go in terms of infrastructure.
Yeah. I mean, I think the main thing now is going to be that it's going to take another year or two before we really see 5G like going around. But for me, before now, there will just be hotspots.
This is very close, though.
But for now, maybe there will just be hotspots where maybe sponsored by
a government company.
Where people can just go.
Yeah, exactly. Go and download 2G in 15 seconds. Oh my goodness. That. It's just mistakenly put in the school environment.
Oh my goodness.
People would misuse that. Nigerians would misuse that.
Yeah, well, but they will also be good at using it for good.
It should be good in the school environment where people, students need the internet to access,
which is the more reason why students
materials and stuff online.
In Unilag, Google Wi-Fi, Google 21st century to return. Like we should carry.
It's still not back here. I think we did a study on that.
It's still not back.
So stuff like that, very good prospects.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah,
yep.
Let's go to Kenya where. An e-commerce startup raised $26 million.
Ooh.
E-commerce. Yeah. We thought e-commerce was dead in Africa. And the startup Copia Global. So $26 million in Series B. That's mad. Like, while Jumia is shutting down operations in Cameroon and Tanzania. Although that's in some. Anyway, I don't want to say.
E-commerce platforms in Nigeria are struggling.
Yeah.
They are really struggling.
Many of them are pivoting. Glue.ng pivoted.
You don't have to look for better business models outside their e-commerce model to be able to thrive. So there's a whole lot. And these guys are raising $6 million.
Interesting. They have an interesting business model. So what they are doing is they combine both online and offline. And they are targeting on bank people and they shop for them. So they have like just like agency banking.
Okay.
So they have agents shopping on behalf of the people in the
So if you don't have a smartphone, you can still shop online.
Yeah. And they also have USSD codes.
Oh, that's really cool.
That makes sense. Probably e-commerce in Nigeria should, take cue from them.
I don't know about that. Because
you'll be shocked.
Exactly, because Kenya, their digital economy is more mature than us.
And
you know,
their mobile money is so good.
Yeah.
I'm sure that will be the foundation of the whole thing. Because if they can do USSD, they can use mobile money to pay for these things. And I think they have agents. I mean, I can see the synergy between the e-commerce and the mobile money thing. I know I'm sure that's why they are this successful.
I'd like to look into that one and see how it works. For them to raise $26 million. I mean, they've raised almost $50 million to date now. As in 4 years of operation. So congrats to them.
Congrats to you.
Interesting news. So what do you guys think about everything we've discussed today? Is e-commerce dead in Africa? Are African governments killing innovation? Is Nigeria ready for 5G?
Okay.
What else did you discuss?
And most importantly, when should we carry our placards to National Assembly to give us a startup act?
Exactly. Right? And then also the social media view.
And also, what's up with Lagos traffic?
Yeah, exactly.
And the government, please stop stifling these people that are trying to help us navigate through traffic.
Help us, please.
Help us.
So, if you want to let us know your thoughts, share your thoughts with us, you can tweet at us at techpoint.ng and you can use the hashtag
TechPoint Africa Podcast.
You could also email us at podcast@techpoint.africa. Yeah, and where can they get the podcast?
I know it today. SoundCloud, Apple,
Apple Podcast,
Apple Podcast, Anyone.
Stitcher. Can you find us on iHeartRadio?
Not yet. We could add that.
Okay. iTunes. But you can find us everywhere you find your podcast.
Yeah. Tune in. Also. What else?
We should give Carrie a shout out.
Oh yeah, our silent producer.
Shout out.
Yes. He exists.
Shout out to Carrie.
Thanks for making us sound
nice,
awesome.
Cohesive and whatnot. Okay, guys. So we're always here on Fridays, 8 a.m. West African time.
Yes.
We publish. So. We hope that you guys will keep listening. My name is Steel Muyiwa.
I'm Amalara.
My name is Titilola. Have a great weekend.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.